And I want to encourage you today, whatever battle you're going through, it doesn't matter what has happened, God can see you through.
Hey, welcome to The Breeze. We appreciate your time today and encourage you to head on over to thebreezechurch.com, where you can find the notes for this presentation, as well as links for all that's happening around The Breeze. Our hope is that this message helps move you forward in your faith journey.
Well, good morning. Glad you're with us. I want to encourage you, circle your calendar, April 20th. It is Easter, and we are excited to celebrate Jesus' redeeming work on the cross. So be with us there and what he's done for us. Hey, today we're continuing our look at the story of Gideon, but I want to talk to you a moment about a lady that defied the odds. This is Mary Slessor. She was a Scottish missionary who transformed Nigeria. She was born in Aberdeen, Scotland, and Mary grew up in poverty and with an alcoholic father. She worked at a textile mill from the age of 11 to help support her family. Then in 1876, at the age of 28, she was called to Nigeria. Unlike many missionaries, she chose to live among the local people, adopting their culture and their customs and learning their language. She discovered that among the Ifik people, that twins were considered a curse. So when these people would have twins, they would leave their children. She saw this and she would raise these children as her own, or kids with birth defects that would be abandoned. She would call that her ministry and raise these kids as their own. She rescued many children. She fought against the brutal, total practices of tribal practices, including human sacrifice, mistreatment of women. She fought against all sorts of different areas and different cultural practices of unaccepting of ladies. She became so respected. She defied the odds. She became so respected that she was kind of turned to as this judge in this region that she lived. She was at the end known as Maslasser. She traveled to the dangerous parts of this area and this part of Africa that many wouldn't attempt, but she did. She came from humble beginnings and God used her radically. The British government eventually appointed her as a magistrate in this area, making her one of the first female government officials in Africa. Mary Slessor, she defied the odds. Today, I want to talk to you about defying the odds, that God has a plan for you, that some of you in this place right now, you look at your circumstance, you look at your obstacles, and you're like, Pastor Blake, I can't get past those. I can't scale that mountain. I can't handle that relationship. Those financial moments or stress in your life, I can't do it. God is the God who can defy all odds. Church, I want you to know that. I want you to hear that. And today, we're going to continue our look at the book of Gideon. This man who was the weakest in his tribe, thought of less than of all people. He was the last pick on the last team. God used him to have this crazy victory in this battle when the odds were ever stacked against him. So if you're taking notes, and I know you are, we believe when we read, write, and recite, we're better to retain what God has in store for us tonight, so then we can live here, we can move here outside of these walls into our communities, into our homes, in our schools. So we don't just say, hey, take notes to take notes, but we want you to ingrain it in your hearts, in your minds, in your souls. So if you have your notes, you can say this, start here. There are battles in your life that only with God those battles can be won, and the odds defied. That there are battles, no matter how many self-help books you read, no matter how many YouTube shorts you watch, no matter how many inspiration conferences you go to or leadership quote, whatever you think, books and all the podcasts out there, there are only battles in your life that by God's grace, God's goodness, he can help you overcome. Some of you in this place right now, you got a serious addiction problem going on. It's under the layers. No one knows it. No one sees it. And you're like, this is my new normal. You've been battling it for years. I can't overcome it. So I just got to adjust. You know what, my friends, this is what I say. God can help you break that addiction. There's some of you right now who have so much self-doubt, so much fear, so much anxiety in your life. God can help you overcome that. There's people in this with so much past hurt, trauma, abuse in your life, and you're saying, this is how it has to be. And you live and you wallow, and there's no peace, there's no comfortability, there's no just resting assurance in God. I'm telling you, right now, with God, you can overcome those battles. You might have some financial issues right now. With God, you can overcome those battles. You might have some relational issues. With God, you can overcome those battles. So right now, because we are a church family, we say it, we claim it, and we know it, how many of us have some battles in life that we need God's help with? So you look around, everybody's got some battles that they're faced with. Everybody's got some battles that they're going head on with it. And I want to encourage you today, whatever battle you're going through, it doesn't matter what has happened, God can see you through it. So today I want to talk to you about four truths to winning the battle. We're looking at the story of Gideon, four truths. Last week we talked about how Gideon was selected. And you know, it's always nice being chosen, but there's an extra kind of layer when you have to look at things. Now you have to execute. Everybody wants to be the first pick, but when you're the first pick, there's pressure on you, right? Like there comes this weight on you. You have to come to this understanding, God is going to help Gideon show up, Gideon step up. So first truth, if you're taking notes, is this: decide first to give God the glory. When you're in a battle, you have a decision. Whatever battle you face, whatever hurdle it is, what's your decision on who's going to get the credit for the victory? So I think, I believe this thoroughly and true down in the inner depths, that there are inhibitors in your life. The reason there's not a breakthrough in your life, battle overcome, is because if God were to give you that battle in your life, God give you that victory, you would claim the credit. You would want the attention. You would say, look what I did. You're like, man, I need that breakthrough in that business, pastor. Like, come on, I want to give God the credit. But this is what happened. You get that breakthrough in your business and that windfall comes. You'd be like, you'd be on social media, you'd be TikTok, Instagram. Look how I made my millions of dollars. Sign up for my program and you can follow me and have the easy 1, 2, 3 steps. And then you're like looking at yourself and not once it'd be like, hey, let me just give glory to God for this moment. Or your kid's on the field out there and they're excelling and you're like, yeah, I did that. I produced that. Like, they trained with me. And, you know, it's not, hey, our work ethic comes from the Lord. And so I think many people miss out on opportunities for God to show up in their life because they're in their own way. We see this in the story of Gideon. The very first place that we have to come to an understanding is this. You need to make a decision right now. If God gives you a victory, who are you first giving the glory to? We see in chapter 7, verse 1, you follow along with me. So, Jerubbaal, this is Gideon, and this is a fascinating name that his father gives us. This means enemy of Baal. And in other words, that what Gideon was up against, if you're with us last week, he was against these false gods, these demonic forces that were at play. And he stands up where they actually say, no, you're an enemy of this false god. And so he has this stance to him. So we see Gideon and his army got up early and went as far as the spring of Herod. Now there's these troops, the Midianites. They are oppressing the Israelites. They need someone to come and help them. And Gideon is this judge, this theocracy that ruled and reigned at the time that the Israelites would follow God and God would appoint leaders. And so we see them getting ready to enter into a battle with their oppressors. The armies of Midian were camped north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. If I let all fight with the Midian, if I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. Therefore, tell people, whoever is timid or afraid, and this is a unique detail that we'll read later on, timid or afraid, to leave the mountain and go home. So 22,000 of the 32,000 went and left for home. There was only 10,000 who were willing to fight. But the Lord told Gideon, there are still too many. Now I want to put this in framework as you start to understand the story. There's an estimated over 100-some thousand troops that they're getting ready to go against. And God looks at Midian and says, there's still too many. 10,000 versus 100,000 plus. I don't know whose odds. I mean, like, I know whose odds I'm taking, right? Like, that's a pretty strong betting line. Makes it pretty easy. But he says, there's still too many. But the Lord told Gideon, there's still too many. Bring them down to the spring, and I will test them to determine who will go with you and who will not. When Gideon took his warriors down to the water, the Lord told him, divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all those who cup water in their hands and lap it with their tongues like dogs. In the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream. Only 300 men drank from their hands, and all others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. The Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home. So I want us to come to this clear understanding. You have to come to a decision. When the battle is there, who's going to get the glory? God's designed you. God's wired you up. God calls you to give him the glory. We talked about that. Ecclesiastes, that the duty of mankind is to live and honor God's commands. See here, if you're confused on, like, how do I exactly give God the glory? I want to simply put it this way. If you want to give God the glory, live obedient to his word. Like it's not like something like you got to overthink about it. It's written out for you. You want to give God glory? Live according to his word. See, obedience is willing to follow the instruction despite the outcome. You know, I think it's a lot of times it's really easy to say, hey, I can do that if I know the answer. I can do that if the plan is mapped out. I can do that if I know the result. I can step into this business adventure if I know I'm going to get the return. I can move across the country if I know God is going to set me up like he already has set me up. I can do what God's called me to do whenever it's easy and we know the outcome. But God wants the glory and he wants your obedience. I'm reminded of this story. There is this rooster that would wake up early in the morning every time and crow. And this rooster thought, because of his strong prowess and crow, that the sun would rise. This one night, a storm came and knocked the rooster from his perch, and he fell, and he slept through the morning. And as he slept through the morning, he woke up and he realized that the sun was already up and shining. And that, you know what? That it didn't shine because of his crow. I think many of us have that kind of understanding, that if I do this, my world will happen. God will still work. And really what God is saying, you live obedient, you do your part, and guess what's still going to happen? God's going to create. God's still going to shine. God's still going to have the glory. So I think the hardest part for many people is to get out of the way, give God the credit. You want a victory, like, hey, if that victory is in life and that marriage and those friendships and those finances, like, God gives you the plan, get out of the way, stay obedient. Second truth that we have is stay courageous. Stay courageous. You have to be willing to stay courageous. You know, I always found it interesting in the story when I would go through and we'd pray about it. You know, it's in the Old Testament, and sometimes you think in the Old Testament, you're like, well, that's the Old Testament. Now, it's clear to understand. Maybe you're new to reading God's Word. Well, the Old Testament is approximately compiled of 39 books that all point to Jesus' coming. And so we see these principles time and time again for God's leading of his people. So we see here in the Old Testament that one of those themes is we have to be willing to stay courageous. And I always thought this was interesting, that the army went from 32,000 to 10,000 to now 300. So Judges chapter 7, verse 9. That night the Lord said, get up and go down to the Midianite camp, for I have given you victory over them. But if you are afraid to attack, he says, wait, I've given you victory, but if you're afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah. Listen to what the Midianites are saying, and you will be greatly encouraged. Then you will be eager to attack. So Gideon took Purah and went down. Let me pause right there. He already knows he's going to have victory. He's already been chosen. What do you have to fear, Gideon? Like the army, the 22,000 have already left. Like, Gideon, like, you're still here. You're the only one out of the 10,000 that didn't have fear in your leading. I always thought that was fascinating. Because, and I come back and I think it's staying courageous. When it comes to staying courageous, it's important for us to, courage is acting through fear, not the absence of fear. Many of us, we won't engage in that battle until we know that we no longer have fear of the outcome of the battle. We'll say, hey, I'm not going to make that decision because I'm afraid. And fear becomes crippling. But God says, hey, Gideon, I know you got some fear in your life. I'm going to give you your servant. I'm going to give you reassurance. We discussed that last week as well. Judges chapter 7, verse 13 and 15. So Gideon crept up as this man was telling his companion about a dream. The man said, I had this dream. In my dream, there was a loaf of barley bread. It came tumbling down into the Midianite camp. It hit the tent. It turned over and knocked it flat. His companion answered, your dream can mean only one thing. God has given Gideon, the son of Joash, the Israelite, victory over Midian and all its allies. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, here's his response, and it's important for us. He gets this reassurance. He sees that there's fear. He's staying courageous. He bowed in worship before the Lord. He didn't go buy the next no jazzy toy. He didn't go buy the next set of golf clubs, boat, go shopping. What's he do when he is assured the victory? He worships. He worships. Then he returned to the Israelite camp and he shouted, get up, for the Lord has given you victory over the Midianite hordes. There's this phrase in the Bible, fear not, that repeats itself 365 times. So we take that, and if you've heard this before, that there's a fear not for all the days of the year. And many people have this kind of false premise that when it comes to understanding who God is, that I'll never have any fear in my life. Like, I'll be okay. I'll be solidified. And I like to flip that around to actually that God gives us assurance because fear is a human emotion that we all endure. Like, no one can live with fear. That's why we see the leader, the guy that's chosen, three different times, he's afraid because he's the weakest, he's less than of his clan, like, how am I going to be the guy? He's afraid of the angel, he's afraid to go up against his dad and the cultural norms, to rise up against the false gods. He's afraid to enter into the battle, and God says, I still want to give you reassurance. See, right now, you are locked into this fear. And God is reminding you every day of the year to not fear not, but to trust Him. To not be crippled by the fear, but to know to stay courageous through the fear. And many times I see so many people like, I can't make that decision. I can't do that. And I can't have that conversation. Oh, well, why? Well, you just, no. Staying courageous. You want to see a battle? One, you have to stay courageous. My sons, they're in this the height level where when we go to amusement park, we don't always know exactly how tall they are when it comes to riding the rides. Okay, like it's exciting. So we show up, go through the ticket counter. They scan the ticket. They run over to see, hey, can I ride all the rides? A lot of the amusement parks. Then they say you can ride this ride, this ride, this ride. And they're 8 and 7 years old at the time. So they go and they run through and they measure themselves and they're like, yes, I can ride these awesome roller coasters, and they don't really know how big the roller coasters are until we get up there. So we go up to the roller coasters, and you know how amusement park is. You wait through the whole line, right? And then we see the roller coaster, and they're 8 and 7, and one is super skinny, and they're like, he's going to like fly out, and they look at me like, Dad, we don't want to go on the roller coaster. You know, they see all the people coming back, the hair's blown back, the music's rocking. They're like, man, that was awesome. I'm scared. That was awesome. That was like those loops. And they're going like this. And they look at me, Dad, we're not riding it. And I get down their level. I'm like, boys, we didn't wait in that long line for us not to ride this roller coaster. I'm like, Daddy's fearful too. But Daddy's fearful on a couple different things. Daddy doesn't want to get up sore and hurting the next day. So no matter what we're doing, we're stepping on this roller coaster with fear, whatever we are in, and we're doing this thing. And see, so many times, like, and you know what happens after you go through the roller coaster? Dude, that was awesome. Let's do it again. And then they sprint, you know, back. I'm like, this is what I'm talking about, that back, right? That's what happens in life with when following God. God's leading you to be courageous. And you get up there and you have your opportunity and you're like, I want to tap out. I want to go around. I want to go that easy exit ramp right there. I don't want to ride that roller coaster. But God's saying, if you just step, if you just fall, if you stay courageous, you step, you go on that roller coaster, and then you come back, and man, it's like a thrill. And you're like, God, give me more. Matthew chapter 14, I didn't say this in first service, but there's this moment when Peter, this apostle, is called to step out of a boat, walking on water. And I want to assure some of us in this room right now, that when Peter walks out of the water, the storm kind of kicks up, the waves, the winds. Peter, scripture says, starts becoming afraid. But you know what Jesus never said? He doesn't say, don't be afraid, Peter. He says, why do you doubt me? And I always thought that was unique because so many times I can't have that fear. No, you can have fear. Stay courageous. I think in all of our humanity, if you're going up against 100,000 plus troops and you're only 300 men, there would be a little fear. Another truth for us today is this: trust unusual methods. Trust unusual methods. When you're going that battle, you give God glory, you stay courageous, and you trust unusual methods. The God we serve is a God of the unusual. He does not think the way you think. He does not think the way I think. Get that, forget that, and you move that on. Like, God, I want you to work this way. No, God's not interested in your playbook. He's interested in his playbook. You read about Jesus, the redeeming grace in the work of his life. He made a man see by spitting on the dirt, making mud, putting it in those eyes. That's pretty weird. That's pretty unique, right? That's pretty unusual. His first miracle, turning water into wine. He fed thousands of people with a little boy's lunch. He cast out demons and threw them into a herd of pigs. All pretty unusual, wouldn't you say? Our God is a God that defies the odds in unusual methods. Look how they have this battle. The odds are stacked against them, and they're about to defy it. He divided the 300 men into three groups and gave each man a ram's horn and a clay jar and a torch in it. Wait, we're getting ready to go to battle. I get a torch, I get a lighter, and I get a Betty Crocker set? Like, yeah, this ain't working. Like, you know, in our thinking, we want to go fire for fire, sword for spear. Like, we want to go back and forth, shield and shield. And Gideon says, hey, you're going to have a clay pot, you're going to have a lighter, and you're going to just keep marching. And then he said, and keep your eyes on me. When I come to the edge of the camp, do just as I do. As soon as I and those with me blow the ram's horns, blow your horns too, all around the entire camp, and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. It was just after midnight, after the changing of the guard, and Gideon, with 100 men with him, reached the edge of the Midianite camp. Suddenly, they blew the ram's horns and broke the clay jars. Then all three groups blew the ram's horns and broke the jars. They held their blazing torches in their left hands and the horns in their right hands, and they all shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Each man stood at his position around the camp and watched as all the Midianites rushed around in a panic, shouting as they ran to escape. When the 300 Israelites blew their ram's horns, the Lord caused the warriors in the camps to fight against each other with their swords. Those who were killed, those who were not killed, fell to places far, far away. So we see that takes place, that this unusual method gives them a victory in their life. You know, Jesus, he would say this, you know, pray for your enemies, you know, love your enemies and pray for those who spitefully and who persecute you. That's an unusual method, right? You got someone at work, they're gossiping about you, they're saying some things, they're making you look in a certain kind of light, and your response is prayer. No one sees prayer. You're praying for them at a prayer meeting midweek service.
You got a kid you're trying to raise, and they grow up to adult, and you're struggling back and forth, and there's friction. They're not leading the way that you've raised them to lead, and you just want to kind of throw them away. You want to disown them and say, I'm done with you. You never listened. You're a terrible adult. Like, you failed. You know there's disruption, but you know what? Maybe you showed a little more generosity. Show them a little more love. Send them a little more loving text message. Give them a verse. God calls us to lead a life in a very unusual way. You want to win a battle, it's not going to look like the methods of this world. It's going to look like the methods that come from above. And I think so many times we miss that. God, I want vengeance on that person who messed me over. God, I want to get equal because their kid bullied my kid. God, I want to go rampant because that isn't right. So many times we fight with the ways of this world when really God's saying, trust my unusual methods to give you victory. When I'm reminded of an unusual method, I got a picture here, so bear with me. Let me explain it a little bit. You know, first service, some people will catch me like, Pastor Blake, I don't agree with the photo. You know, we all love the little minions, right? You know, we see them, grew, I'm in that age. But this photo went viral in 2021. Now, if you're like me, I love Jesus, and when I see anything like this, it irks me. It makes me mad, because I'm like, you're mocking my Savior, okay? So I saw this some time ago, and I'm reminded of it in 2021. It went viral, like everybody saw it, and online and whatnot. And what was interesting about it going viral is simply this. It said, the minion didn't die on the cross, but someone else did, Jesus. And it went viral and hit so many people's threads. And here's the reason why. A group of TikTok Christian influencers captured that and kept that phrase going. So the animator who actually designed it, he was goofing around, no intent, kind of mocking Jesus. But then Christians grabbed it, and they repurposed it, and people gave their life because of that statement. And so my point to you is this. So many times we're quick to doubt the methods and the unusual way God's work when God is trying to say, hey, I can take care of myself. Trust the unusual methods, and I will bring a victory into your life. I will let you get past what you need to get past. I will help you because there's only some ways, some methods that only work because of God working in your life. The last truth that I want to share with you is this. You got to be willing to share the victory. Share the victory. I think so many times in life, we're in a very individualistic society. Our human nature is, don't really want to kind of, we want to be private people. Like, we don't want people to really know what's going on in our lives, on friends. So we're going to talk about it. These next 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about sharing our faith. You need to be able to share your victory. Sharing your victory is one of the greatest testimonies or stories that can open someone's eyes up to receiving Jesus. You got to be willing to share it. So we see what happens. So we see that the battle is won, this great odds defied, that Gideon and his 300 men, like, they're dominating. And this is what happens in verse 23. Then Gideon sent for warriors, and Naphtali and Asher and Manasseh, who joined in chasing the army of Midian. Gideon also sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim, saying, come down to attack the Midianites. Cut them off at the shallow crossing of the Jordan River. So all Ephraim did as they were told. When you read that story, it's like there were some of those individuals that were part of the group that were afraid. There were some of those individuals that got dismissed because they drank the water and not the way that was preferred. And so the point that I'm saying, there's some of us in a battle right now that you can declare God's work in your battle, that you look back and like, man, God did it. And you know what you encourage someone else? To get in the fight. You encourage someone else there's some stakes that you can have as well. You encourage someone else, like, hey, your life might be messed up. You might be going through some hard things. I want to encourage you, fight those hard things. With God, you can get past it. With God, you can do all things. With God, you can defy the odds. I shared this first service, and you know, it's common. I hear a lot of pastors say it and whatnot. You know, one of the most unique terms to, well, it's kind of funny to introduce yourself. Hey, you know, I'm Blake. Like, what do you do, Blake? Well, I'm a pastor. Typically, people kind of like turn and they kind of take a step back of like, okay, he's going to judge me or something like that. And I wrestled with that very early on in ministry. And then I came to this point, probably this past couple years, where like my victory is sharing that I'm a pastor on stage. I'm a pastor with our church. I'm a pastor that preaches God's word. I'm a pastor that's raising his family in the house of the Lord. I'm a pastor that loves people. And you know me now, but if you would have knew me back then, you would have thought I was some punk, knuckleheaded, too cool for school kind of kid. But my victory of saying, hey, God reworked a lot of stuff in my life. He worked in my heart. He worked in my soul and my mind. And he can work in yours too. You may not be a pastor, but you might be someone leading a Bible study. You might be someone volunteering kids area. You might be someone serving at our Easter upcoming big day, April 20th. You might be someone that God is blessing and giving favor to. Share your victory. Last week we celebrated those going public with their faith. We shared, and I remember these couple people, they wanted to go get baptized, and this one person always wanted to get baptized, but it wasn't until he made a decision to go and get baptized that I decided to go and be baptized. Because your victory gets other people into the fight. When you share that, when you express that, look what my God has done in your life, my life, share that so other people can experience the loving Father that we know, that we hold true, who's been with us every step in every battle we faced. I'm gonna invite you to stand with me at this time, and we're gonna do just that. We're gonna give God glory just for a moment. We're gonna give him praise. So I don't know what battles you have going on, and maybe you're in this place right now. The greatest step in the right direction is making Jesus the Lord and leader over your battles right now, accepting him. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says this: if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friends, when it comes to giving God glory right now, let's just call on his name. Maybe your first battle in life right now is to give your life to him. Just quit trying to run and do it all yourself. But God, I give you the glory. God, I give you the praise.
Thanks for listening today. If you have questions or would like to speak to someone about taking the next step in your faith journey, we invite you to connect with us at thebreezechurch.com. That's thebreezechurch.com. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.